What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, welcome to the Friday Show. Happy Friday, everybody. We've got a pretty fun game to recap. Is Russell Wilson going to be QB1 this week, or can anybody top his 37 fantasy points? Then we'll take a look at the NFC home games, plus that Cincinnati-Arizona game. Are you starting Tyler Eifert and Auden Tate this week? Really? Well, anyway, we got to say hello to Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. So, guys, do you think anybody will top Russell Wilson's 37 fantasy points, or are we looking at QB1 last night?
Somebody will top it. There's only one guy who I think can top it, and it's Patrick Mahomes.
I think Watson will be better than him. Chance Wentz is better than him, too.
That's a lot of fantasy points. It was a pretty good game. All right, we got a big show today. We got a lot of news. We got this Stephon Diggs drama to talk about. We have the worst tweet in...
What drama?
There is no drama.
There's no... What? There's no drama. There's some drama.
Nah, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
All right. Well, I'm glad I traded.
Excited to see Saquon Barkley?
What the... How is he doing this?
He's Wolverine.
He's an Avenger.
He's a freak. It's crazy.
That's the nickname Tommy Tran gave him way back in the day before he was even drafted.
Okay, I like it. I got a couple players who have very interesting schedules coming up, but let's talk about last night's game. Seattle 30 and the Rams 29. Brandon Cooks was checked for a concussion, so that's a big part of this as well. And DJ Fluker, Seattle offensive lineman, he left in the first quarter. But Jamie, off the air during the mic check, which we don't usually take very seriously, you said something about Jared Goff. Did you mean what you said?
Yeah, he's one bad game away from being dropped. I mean, he's been struggling. You go back to their bye week last season, and he has not been a good fantasy quarterback. And so when you start to look at if you picked up Jacoby Brissett and he has another good game and you need to make a roster move, if you have... I don't know if Gardner Minshew is somebody that comes off having another good game, you know, which would be 4 of 5 with 20 more fantasy points. I'm going, you know, on the low end scale clearly, but it's just, he's not producing and he's not producing consistently. And so last week he threw 68 times and he got you 24 fantasy points out of it. Last night he threw 49 times and he got you under 20 fantasy points. So, It's a frustrating situation if you're the Jared Goff owner.
If you saw him on the waiver wire, you would walk right past him?
No, it's not in a vacuum. I think it's case specific, but it just depends on what you need. You know, if you're now at the point where you know what your fantasy team looks like and the guys that are popping up on waivers that you're going to need and positions that you have to fill. And so if you need a quarterback and he's there, sure, you'll probably pick him up. But I think, you know, right now, looking at their game against the 49ers next week, that it's not going to be an easy matchup for him.
Nope.
And he's not playing great as a fan. I mean, look at this. This is now, 117 passes in the last two games?
That's exactly right.
117 passes. He's thrown for
over
nearly
900
right,
yards.
For over 900 yards. Right. And he's come away with 3 touchdowns. He's got now, I think it's 10 turnovers on the season. It's just not clicking yet. Now it will come.
I don't know, man. Like I thought.
Well, I mean the touchdowns will come. He's
right,
not going to throw
like Gerald Everett
something passes.
And if that's
that
the
was
case,
a touchdown,
then why would you let him go?
Guys, that was a touchdown to Gerald Everett. Like, and then Todd Gurley gets the 1 yard plunge. But if they had reviewed it, he's probably got a 20 5-point game, and then maybe he doesn't throw that interception. Well, that interception wasn't his fault. He could have had a 27-yard game. I actually thought after the first quarter, it was a little shaky. I thought Goff played great. I thought he played great. I came away encouraged.
The first quarter was terrible.
Right.
The last week's game was terrible.
Right. Agreed.
And then he started to play better. It's also, look, he has a bad history in Seattle. He's now played 4 times in Seattle. He's never had multiple touchdowns in Seattle.
He's got the Niners, and then he's at Atlanta, and then against Cincinnati and London.
Light it up. I mean, I came away encouraged. I had a feeling about him. The reason why is he is throwing the ball so much. Jared Goff has thrown 38 or more passes in 4 or 5 games. It took him 9 games last year to throw 38 or more passes. They're not running the ball as effectively. It's his 4 straight games for Gurley with less than 4 yards per carry. He basically had 1 good quarter against the Panthers, and other than that, he's been a slug. Sorry to say it, but
I thought his first half last night was good.
I thought he started fine too.
But it's 4 straight games with less than 4 yards per carry. He's not making big plays. They are throwing the hell out of the ball. And if Goff keeps doing that, I just feel like there's no way. I don't disagree with that. He will be dropped. But for me, I will not drop Jared Goff. I still have faith in him because I think
are you going to start him next week against San Francisco?
Yeah. Well, let's see what San Francisco does this week. I'm not convinced about their pass defense. But yeah, I think I am. It's a home game. Now, if Brandon Cooks doesn't play, maybe not. Yeah, you know, we saw how bad.
Doesn't matter. Gerald Everett was great.
let's get past Jared Goff then and talk about Gerald Everett. Career game for him, 136 yards, 7 catches on 11 targets. It was him who had that catch that was down at the half yard line, right?
Yep.
So he
was just breaking tackles all over the place.
He was a monster. Adam. And I went back. I looked at everything after the cup injury.
Ask yourself a question.
Cup injury, like, he wasn't really very good last year. I meant to say add him, not Adam, but yes, add him? Question mark.
I think so. If Cooks is out, you know, this is if this is what you expect this Rams offense to be, where it's 38?
38 or more pass attempts in 4 or 5 games. That's a lot.
So if it's 38 or more, last 2 weeks, 49 or more, then they're all options really outside of Josh Reynolds. So, you know, Tyler Higbee had, what, 3 catches?
I think he had 4.
4 catches?
3 for 47 on 3 targets.
He had 4 for 47. He had over 40 yards second
week. So, you know, he's on the lower end scale as well. But I think if this is now 2 weeks in a row of heavy involvement for Everett, that if Cooks is out, they're clearly showing that they're going to use him a little bit more. And, you know, he's not going to do this again. But at some point, it's going to be, okay, it goes from scoring a touchdown in week four to nearly scoring a touchdown and going over 100 yards in week 5. So maybe it's, you know, 5 for 60, and that's still not bad in PPR at the tight end position. So yeah, he's absolutely worth adding.
Dave, Carson or Gurley rest of season?
Carson.
Mm.
Easy.
Hey, you know, I thought Penny might have more work this week, and Carson got 27 carries, sorry, for 118 yards. Gurley did score 2 rushing touchdowns for the 2nd straight week. So at least there are positive trends for Gurley, right?
Well, the positive trend is that he's scoring touchdowns.
And playing a lot.
And as long as that's true too. He played 93% of the snaps.
Yeah, Malcolm Brown was a non-factor.
Season high for him. Usually he's right in that 70% range. So it's strange that they continue to limit his carries, I guess.
Well, I mean, 50 carries is not bad. You know, I mean, it's not great, but it's not awful. I thought the fact that they went away from the passing game after what he did a week ago, and you still had Goff thrown 49 times.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a little bit underwhelming. But, I mean, you know, this is still an offense that's going to move the ball. It's still an offense that when they get inside the 5, you see what they're going to do. So, you know, his touchdown floor is still there from where we saw him a year ago. It's the production on top of it that the ceiling has come down.
14, 16, 14, and then only 5 carries against Tampa Bay. And I think you're the one that noted that he didn't get a lot of work because they had the short week and they wanted to.
I just wonder if that was the case.
It could have been.
But it was also the score. I mean, you know, they were down 21-0. So, you know, it's not like you're going to line up and run the ball.
And then 15 carries again.
I had this conversation with Pete Prisco last night during the game that, go ahead. You know, he has this this complaint about Leonard Fournette and running backs like that they run to contact and they don't make people miss. And I said to him, like, aren't all the same complaints you have about Fournette applying to Gurley right now? Like, he's just not making people miss.
It makes sense.
And,
yeah.
And
dragon defender.
He's not the same runner, you know, whether it's the knee or whatever. I mean, it's easy to say it's the knee, but the offensive line is not good. It's a bad offensive line compared to where it's been. And that's also contributing to Goff. He's, you know, throwing on his back foot a ton. He's not, you know, the throw to Robert Woods out of their end zone. You know, he doesn't usually miss that throw, you know, the quick crossing route, you know, that would have probably got him a big chunk play there. He's underthrowing a lot of throws, but in terms of Gurley, he's just not getting holes. And so, you know, it's frustrating to watch him run, because if you were to say 15 carries, you probably would have thought 80 yards,
yes,
75 yards, yep, you know, in that range. And
well, that's what, like, he said, the first he had, I must have read it. What did he have? 51 yards. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, 51. Yeah.
But in the first half, because Pete had made a call on our CBS Sports HQ show on Monday, that he goes, Gurley's going for 100 in the short week and, you know, shutting people up. And he was averaging 4.4 yards per carry at the half with the touchdown. And okay, this looks like the Todd Gurley we kind of remember. And then the second half, it wasn't the same thing.
He was better in the first half. I thought there were holes in the first half, but not the second half. And I've said all along, he just does not look like the same guy.
Oh, I think that's in the receiving totals, okay? Like, three catches for 6 yards, he's not making plays. Let's wrap up on Gurley, Dave, and then finish with the receivers, and we'll move on.
I have a homework assignment for everybody that drafted Todd Gurley and has Todd Gurley. Watch the 49ers run defense on Monday night. If it worries you and you think it's a really good run defense, consider selling high on Gurley. He has 4 touchdowns in his last 2 games. I think it's pretty clear that he's touchdown dependent. I don't know how often he's going to play 93% of the snaps. We know exactly what his workload is going to be from game to game. I think it's a terrific time to sell high on Gurley, knowing that 2 of his next 3 games are against teams that can do pretty well against the run, and then there's a bye in there on top of it.
Gurley or Mixon rest of season?
I'm going to say Mixon.
I'll still say Gurley, just because that offensive line in Cincinnati is a disaster.
Any thoughts on the wide receivers in this game? I sat DK Metcalf. I don't regret it. If he's going to be a guy who has to rely on a 40-yard touchdown catch, then so be it. I don't have super.
Yeah.
I'm not super confident in him.
Busted but. Coverage.
Yeah, big time bust.
But he could have had 2 touchdowns. Russell missed him in the end zone on 1 throw.
Yeah, yeah. Tyler Lockett, by the way, made a catch that was the most difficult catch in the last 2 seasons, according to
amazing
NFL statistics, at a 6.3% catch probability. Most improbable completion of the past 2 seasons. But I don't know. Would you sell high on Tyler Lockett? Because Russell Wilson's had 3 games with less than 30 pass attempts, and Lockett has had 2, 4, and 4 targets in those games. Of course, he's caught 2 touchdowns. But, you know, just the volume for Wilson. Would you sell high on the passing game, I suppose, for Seattle?
I would not. I think that the passing game is still going to be there for them. I think Russell and Tyler have proven. I'm on a first-name basis with these guys, I guess. I think they've proven that they can be great despite that volume. We'd love to see them have more volume. And we have seen games where Russell Wilson has had to throw more than 30 times, and he can put up good numbers in those games as well. Schedule for Seattle is Cleveland, Baltimore, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, San Francisco. I think that those are all positive games for the passing game.
You can sell high on these guys, but just understand that this is what they've been for 2 years now. I mean, this is basically what Tyler Lockett was last year.
Wilson, I think, was like QB9 last year or something. What do you think about it? Because I think he's probably QB1 right now. I think he was number 3 going into the week. He's 1 now.
You could see what you could get for him.
Well, where would you have him the rest of season?
It just depends on what your top 7. I mean, you know, that's okay. Top 10. You know, I mean, it's going to fluctuate between the top 5 or 6 guys. I think if you're able to flip him for something at another position, if you have another quarterback, there are probably several people that drafted Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott, you know, that combo.
Right, right.
So I think you can get by with the other guy. You know, maybe Wilson was a second quarterback, because as we saw with his average draft position, he started to go toward the back end of the number 1 group. So if you can flip him to the Roethlisberger or Breeze owner or Cam owner, and you feel comfortable with the second, you know, if you have Brissett, for example, I think Brissett can get you by, not probably the same ceiling as Russell Wilson, but serviceable enough. And you're making some, you know, plugging some holes in the other position. So, yeah. And the same thing with Lockett. You know, if you have a good receiving core, it's not a bad idea to flip those guys.
But I think Russell Wilson is deserves a little bit more credit than that. I don't know if you can get it in trade, because I think a lot of people see what we see. Well, that volume just isn't there.
It's
just keeps finding great numbers.
It's quarterbacks, you know, so it's always hard to trade that position.
I agree.
And it's the other side of it is, you know, like I traded for Russell Wilson prior to week four in a 10-team league where I had a ton of receivers, and I traded AJ Green because I was the Cam owner, and there were a lot of people in that league are carrying three quarterbacks because of their own quarterback issues. So, you know, I was looking to sort of shore up a hole in a shallower league. But I think if you're trying to unload Russell Wilson and you have a capable quarterback, you should be asking for a top 20 player at running back or wide receiver, not a top 20 overall player, because I don't think you'll get that.
There are people out there that would hear the trade that you made and go, I can't believe that all you had to give up for Russell Wilson was AJ Green. Mm-hmm. But what you said about the quarterback values being depressed, that's how it should be. Not everybody thinks that way, and we know that based on how people draft. So if people are going to overvalue the quarterback position and they're going to overpay for Russell Wilson, yes, take advantage.
Yeah, I have a slightly different take because all of my quarterbacks are terrible. But we will save that for another day. Your tweet of the day.
Trade for Russell Wilson.
I might have to. Your tweet of the day.
We just made a trade. We just made a big trade.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the tweet of the day. We made a trade in a two quarterback.
Patrick Mahomes
league.
For Jimmy Garoppolo.
Look at this horrible tweet by Heath. The worst tweet he's ever had. That's a good call. Clay knew the ball was out. Dumb. Dude, Heath, that was the worst call. That was not a penalty on Clay Matthews. It's clear as day. And then look at this reply from Richard Fitzwell. Is this Adam Azer? That's my reputation now. Heath says something dumb, and I get blamed for it. So you know what, Heath? You kept defending it. I know you're not on the show, but I'm going to talk at you anyway. You kept defending it. It was a bad tweet. It was a bad call. And for that, I say, and we move on. Ask FFT. That's the hashtag you need to be using this weekend. Hashtag Ask FFT. Make us the number one trending tweet or hashtag. Make us number one in the trends on Twitter. Ask FFT. We're doing a bunch of Q&As throughout the weekend starting on Saturday. Yesterday's show, guys, by the way, was an hour and 15 minutes long. For all of you listeners, to me, that's too long. We're going to try to get it down to an hour and 5 minutes. So that's my goal. But if you are, you know, looking for specific subject matter, a game, you know, you've got a player in a certain game, you want to hear that preview. It may not be obvious to you. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but I put time codes in the descriptions of every episode. So you can skip around and you can find the things that are most relevant to you. You can, you know, you have to, I think, click something on the iPhone app to see the description. Just scroll down, whatever. But see the description. I put time codes in to try to help you out. We've got a FanDuel contest, FanDuel.com/league/FFT. And right now we got a few hundred spots remaining, so get in that. It's $5 to enter. How do you get $5 on FanDuel? Just like five free dollars. Well, what I would do is I would sign up on FanDuel. I would go to FanDuel.com/FFT, our little special URL for you, FanDuel.com/FFT. And I'd join, and I'd make a $20 deposit. And for four straight weeks, you will get $5 in site credit. FanDuel is extremely fun. I made my lineup last night. I got a lot of Patriots in my lineup. I'll make a few more lineups just in case Tom Brady doesn't have to throw that much and that lineup is a total bust. But if the Patriots have a big game, I'm set up for success. I like David Montgomery a lot. If you watch our show, Fantasy Football Today on HQ today, you'll hear all of our favorite players on FanDuel. So sign up for FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/FFT. Get $5 in site credit every week for 4 weeks if you make a $20 deposit. FanDuel.com/FFT or download the FanDuel app. News and notes. Saquon Barkley has not been ruled out, and Tyreek Hill has not been ruled out. Do you think we'll see either Saquon or Tyreek Hill?
Probably closer to Tyreek than Saquon. I mean, the Giants play Thursday against the Patriots, so it could just be one of those situations where they're ramping him up for that game. But, I mean, you watch him in the videos, and it doesn't look like anything's wrong with him. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy. Right now, we're expecting no. Right now, are you not expecting Tyreek Hill to play?
As of Friday morning, yes, not expecting him to play. But, you know, the fact that he's gotten two limited practices and, you know, they have until Sunday night, it you know, gives him a couple extra hours. So it could be a situation where he's out there.
All right. Sam Darnold could play this week. Let's make this a do you expect segment. Sam Darnold.
No.
No.
Josh Allen.
No.
I think there's a chance that he plays. As of now, you better have a backup plan ready to go. And you probably shouldn't start Josh Allen anyway.
We previewed the Chiefs-Colts game yesterday, but it looks like Damian Williams is going to play, which we knew. So tell me what you do with Damian, LeSean, and Darrell Williams.
Downgrade LeSean because there's another mouth to feed. So he's still a starter, but he's a mid-tier number two running back as opposed to a borderline number one where he was without Damian there. And Damian over Darrell, I don't know how much Darrell will play. I think Damian's a borderline flex.
I'll be a little more bullish on LeSean McCoy, who's played about half the snaps anyway, even without Damian Williams on the field. And this Colts run defense isn't very good, even with Darius Leonard coming back this week. So I'll say that LeSean McCoy is a top 12 running back.
All right, Marlon Mack missed practice. Again, we previewed this yesterday, but real quick, which Colts running back would you take if Mack's out?
Oh, I would take
one.
I would take Wilkins. I gave Adam a stat this morning that the yards per carry, the Chiefs yeah. are allowing, which is like 5.9, was it?
5.8, I think.
Yeah, in that range. It's the most yards per carry allowed for a team through the first four games of a season since 1970. And so if you're Frank Reich and you're game planning this, it's not a let's line up Nyheim Hines and throw it to him 50 times to start the game. It's let's do what the Lions just did and lean on the running back of the running backs. So I think it'll be a Jordan Wilkins game to start. It may end up as a Nyheim Hines game. I think both are kind of the same. But the touchdown potential certainly favors Jordan Wilkins if they're inside the red zone, certainly near the goal line. And so I would lean on him more so than I would Marlon Mack. When I sent Adam that, I texted it to him. He replied back. I want to make sure I get this right. I sent it to him this morning, and he replied back, five O's, O-O-O-O-O.
That's ooh.
And then I don't even know. I don't even know how to say this. It's THANJAVUR.
Thanjavur. Thanjavur.
Oh, Thanjavur. And then he wrote back.
Isn't that the name of the new Thor movie?
And he wrote back, or thanks, WTF.
Yeah, sweet autocorrect.
I think Adam had a stroke this morning.
I don't know what happened, but thanks autocorrected to Thanjavur. So it's 5.87 yards per carry.
5.87, yes.
It's rest of the news and notes.
Second worst yards per carry mark allowed in the first 4 weeks of the season. That's according to one of the Colts reporters. I apologize for not citing the.
I would take Hines over Wilkins in PPR.
Melvin Gordon.
I think he'll catch a lot.
This is what Anthony Lynn said about Melvin Gordon at Denver this week. Melvin Gordon will definitely be a part of the game plan, and he may even start. So that's why you guys have Eckler ranked ahead of Gordon, right? Just.
I like Gordon better in non-PPR. I think he's going to have better chance to score.
All right, here we go. Coleman, do you expect
I'll take
him?
Other way. Yes. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
James Conner.
He's got to practice Friday in order to get in. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Make sure that Jalen Samuels is not on waivers. It's just, he would be a monster.
Do you have the ownership percentage on top of your head? No. I'll get it right now.
Jalen Samuels or LeSean McCoy if Conner's
75%.
Out?
Oh, Samuels, and it's not close.
I agree.
What if Brandon
Especially
Williams,
Brandon Williams play,
what if he plays?
It's closer, but I'd still take Samuels.
T.Y. Hilton practiced. He might actually play. Devontae Adams not expecting him right now. Juju Smith-Schuster is expected to play through a toe injury. Terry McLaurin, do you expect him?
It doesn't matter if he does.
Right. It's the Patriots. They're going to wipe him out.
Yeah.
Get the little eraser and erase the F1 or McLovin or whatever you're calling him these days.
I agree, but if you actually look at McLaurin's first three games, he's had tough matchups. He scored against the Cowboys, the Bears.
Who's the quarterback though?
I agree. I just want to point it out. Yeah. He's been good.
No, he's done well in some negative situations. I would just say that you probably want to avoid him.
Michael Gallup says his knee is fine, but he needs to mentally know that he can do it. So that's kind of a weird thing to say. We'll talk about that game and whether or not you can start Gallup. You should at least pick him up. DeSean Jackson missed practice. We're still not expecting him at the Jets. So you guys say there's no drama with Stephon Diggs.
We're joking.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You guys were very convincing.
We were?
Yeah.
There's a ton of drama.
Thanjavur for letting me know that you were joking. There is a lot of drama. Are you going to start Stephon Diggs this week at the Giants?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Mike Williams practice again. Looks like he's going to play at Denver. Tyrell Williams could miss the game with a foot injury. The London game against Chicago. Jalen Ramsey may not play due to a back issue. We'll preview that game today. Patriots signed Mike Nugent.
Real quick, just on Tyrell Williams. I think some people that don't look at the schedule sometimes think the London game is always the first thing in the morning. It's a 1 o'clock Eastern kick. So you don't have to necessarily panic about looking at Tyrell Williams' status at 7 a.m. on the East Coast.
Right. I wish it
were. Or
it
could be ruled out in advance of the game.
Sure.
And then you.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, if you're looking at it, the inactive and inactive list, it's not
right.
It's not the early game that we typically get in London.
He didn't practice all week, so it doesn't look good. And it doesn't look good for Clelin Ferrell, their rookie defense.
Right?
Clelin or Clelin? I've heard Clelin. Both.
The Clelin show.
Heard both.
Jets guard Kelechi Osemele hurt his shoulder, which isn't great, going up against one of the best run defenses in football. C.J. Mosley for the Jets not expected to play. Taylor Lewan is returning from suspension, and here's a stat from ESPN. Last season, Derrick Henry carried the ball to the left, which is Taylor Lewan's side. He's their left tackle, for 5.8 yards per carry. That's and so far this year, Derrick Henry is averaging 4.9 yards per carry running to the left, which is still really good, but it's almost a full yard worse. Small sample size, as ESPN notes, but Taylor Lewan could help everybody in that offense. And first practice yesterday for the Browns in advance of Monday night, their two top cornerbacks were missing.
Right. Their safety, Morgan Burnett, practiced, though, so it looks like he's on the way back.
Beat the waiver wire. I don't have much specifically for week six, but I do think that the New York Jets, if you just think about what we thought about Sam Darnold, Robbie Anderson, Jamison Crowder, and Chris Herndon will be back next week. They played one game this year with Darnold. It was against the Bills. We know what that means. Darnold already was feeling the effects of mono. Jamison Crowder had 14 catches in that game. Anderson didn't do anything. All I'm saying, I think you guys are going to agree, is that the Jets, they're very, very available. And you just think about how you felt about Robbie Anderson. You shouldn't be judging him based on one game with a sick Sam Darnold against the Bills. So he's like 50% owned or something like that. I get him and Crowder's ownership percentage is mixed up. But
Crowder's worse. I think Crowder's under 50.
He is.
So they're available. And then I'll just run through some names and you guys can also. Ito Smith and Jamal Williams are two running backs who are 34% owned or less. Ito Smith and Jamal Williams, they could be earning bigger roles. Keep an eye on them. Michael Gallup, 72%. Philip Dorsett, 67%. He has 16 targets in his last two games. And again, he struggled against the Bills. Big deal. Jimmy Garoppolo at the Rams. Matthew Stafford at Green Bay. They're very owned, but they could be all right next week. Maybe pick a San Francisco wide receiver that you like. They're all pretty available. Maybe coming out of the bye, they feature one of them. And I just couldn't really find a DST I like for next week. But
the Redskins.
That was the one. They're at the Dolphins. Ooh. I don't know that they have the worst defense. I don't know if the Dolphins are going to be able to do anything. But anyway, any other names?
You just got to wonder if the Dolphins are going to throw the game.
Oh, man.
The Tank Bowl is on.
Hey.
Yeah. Well,
and we're going to have, speaking of the Dolphins, we're actually going to have Kenyon Drake on our show on Sunday, on his bye week. He's still working on Sunday, so he's coming into our set at CBS Sports HQ. We're going to talk to him about what's going on with the Dolphins. If he thinks there's any hope for him moving forward, I'm actually looking forward to it. So we're going to have an active NFL player on his bye week on CBS Sports HQ in around 12:30 Eastern.
Do you guys think there's any point in picking up Ben Watson? He's got the Giants next week and the Redskins.
If you have an open roster spot to play with, I would say somebody like him, Ricky Seals-Jones, you know, these tight ends that are either going to have a chance for some bigger roles.
Herndon's
at the top of the list by far, but
still out there in 2/3 of CBS Sports League.
I think if you're in, you know, 14 team league, 16 team league, and those guys are available, you know, it's not a bad spot to play with.
Okay. I'll move on. Start, sit, or flex at best for the last three games we're going to preview, which is coming later on in the show. Jordan Howard at the Jets.
I think he's good enough to start.
Flex.
Miles Sanders at the Jets.
Flex.
Flex at best.
You prefer Howard?
Yes.
Yes. He's played more. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. Wayne Gallman against Minnesota.
Sit.
Start.
Jordan Howard or Wayne Gallman?
Howard in non-PPR, Gallman in PPR.
I'll take Howard either way.
Jets wide receivers against the Eagles. The Eagles have allowed 100 yards to five wide receivers in four games.
Who's the quarterback?
It's an easy sit if it's not Darnold. Let's say Darnold plays.
Flex at best.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see what else we got. Sterling Shepard against Minnesota.
Flex at best.
Sit.
Golden Tate.
Sit.
Adam Thielen.
Must start.
I'm feeling.
Stephon Diggs.
Was that singing?
Weird.
I don't know.
No, that was weird.
All right.
Start.
I would start Diggs.
Philip Dorsett at Washington.
Flex.
Josh Gordon at Washington. For those of you listening on the show, I just flexed to the camera.
Must start.
I think he's a very good flex.
The Patriots running backs at Washington.
Michelle is a start in non-PPR. White is a start in PPR. Both are flexes in the other format.
I think you can get away with starting both in PPR. White ahead of Michelle. Michelle in non-PPR.
Because you think Michelle's going to score.
I do.
And Chris Thompson or James White.
White.
James White.
Okay. Well, gave it some thought earlier today. It's time now for the Bonanza. Week one was the Saints-Texans. That means both teams are back on the board. But we're not going to use the Saints. But we are going to use the Texans. This week's Bonanza, and this is a tough week, by the way. Tough week. You know, could have been Cowboys-Packers, but no Devontae Adams, not going to do that. Atlanta and Houston, give us some points, baby. Pretty high total in Vegas, so that's your Bonanza, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, Devontae Freeman, don't let me down. And by the way, I'm not held responsible for the crappiness of the Texans running backs. They are not included in this Bonanza. Let's go to the NFC.
Is this all a passing game?
No, Devontae Freeman. I need Devontae Freeman.
That's the one?
Yeah.
So if Duke Johnson scores, are you taking credit?
Of course.
And Freeman does nothing?
Okay. No. Freeman's a requirement. Unless everybody's great and Freeman isn't, but Freeman is more or less a requirement.
And what
rank the receivers in the game?
Right. Like they should all get.
Yeah.
If they all fail, obviously, but how many are allowed to fail with this banana?
Rank the receivers.
All right. Julio, Hopkins, Julio, Calvin, Fuller, Sanu. Yeah.
That's PBR?
All five of them are going to go off.
Any format. Any format? Four of the five are going to be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I would take Sanu over Ridley, though, in PPR.
I figured you... over Ridley. I thought you were going to say over Fuller. Yeah, it makes sense.
Two.
No, I think this is a big Fuller game.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's
I'm full of Fuller.
Yeah. Well, I hope
you're willing him to
I hope he's
him.
Good. I hope he's not as good as Stephon Diggs. Green Bay at Dallas. Stat of the game. In 6-point per passing touchdown leagues, no quarterback scored more than 25 fantasy points against the Cowboys all of last year or so far this year. Hard to really know how good the Cowboys' defense is. They faced Eli Manning, Case Keenum, Josh Rosen, and Teddy Bridgewater, but it was a good defense last year, and it's very similar personnel. And you guys have Rodgers outside the top 12. He doesn't have Devontae Adams. I don't know that we have to elaborate. Would you start Andy Dalton over Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Yes, 100%.
Oh,
wow. Who else?
He's had more 18-point games than Aaron Rodgers so far this season. He's been a better fantasy quarterback already.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, if Andy Dalton faced the Vikings, Broncos, and Bears, we would not be saying that about Andy.
He might have 18 points total if he faced those
agreed.
Defenses.
But still, he's done what he has to do.
If Devontae Adams were playing, you would obviously have Rodgers ahead of Dalton, right?
I don't know, obviously, but yes, really? I would. But it'd be close.
Okay. And I know Dave obviously would. The Green Bay running backs, start or sit against the Cowboys, who allow the eighth fewest fantasy points to running backs, but again, haven't really been tested except Barkley.
Yeah, that's
game.
That's the interesting one is they haven't been tested. So you could say they did a good job against Kamara, which they did. They struggled with Barkley, who had, I think, 136 total yards and 11 touches.
So close. Touches, 15 touches, 11 carries, 139 mm-hmm. total yards.
Yeah, so... And Gallman scored in garbage time in that game. So I think, you know, Aaron Jones is a starter based on what the volume will be. You know, we talk about Gurley being touchdown dependent. He's been so touchdown dependent outside of the Minnesota game, which was sort of weird that he had his best game against the Vikings. So I think, you know, just given the potential of Jamal Williams not being there and them probably not trusting Dexter Williams to be a significant player in this game, yep. I think the volume will help Aaron Jones, so I think he's a very good number two running back.
Look for a lot of catches.
Okay. So talk to me about the wide receivers here, MVS and Geronimo Allison. As of yesterday, Geronimo Allison was only owned in 44% of leagues. And it's a great opportunity here, but it does really seem to be a good pass defense for the Cowboys, and they've been good against wide receivers. So how much faith do you have in Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Geronimo Allison?
I think they're both number three receivers, with MVS having a higher ceiling just based on his targets already being at a good level and getting a little bit of a bump. So Allison's a little bit more of a dart throw, but he's scored in two of his last three. And so, you know, look, Rodgers is going to improvise more in this game than he has the last few. You know, look at what he did last week, and I think that's what you're hoping for, is that he's going to move around and sort of hope these guys, you know, sort of find their way open. It's not an easy matchup, so I don't think they're slam dunk must start guys, but, you know, the bump in target share, and the same thing with Jimmy Graham, is what you're hoping for. And so volume is going to be the thing that helps these guys, and hopefully one of them, if not both, find the end zone.
You're starting Valdes-Scantling for catches and yards, just like Jamie suggested. I don't think the touchdowns are a guarantee with him at all. And he's been a big play guy. That's pretty much been it. So very feast or famine. But without Devontae Adams there, the targets are going to go up. He's had four games with eight or more targets. He's given you at least 12 PPR points in three of them.
So would you start MVS or Sterling Shepard?
MVS.
Yep.
MVS or Aaron Jones, PPR?
Jones.
I think I have Jones higher.
Okay.
Because I think he's got a much better shot at scoring.
And just to say this, we skipped Jamal Williams, but he had 14 touches in week three. He got a touch on the first play from scrimmage in week four and got hurt. If you're desperate, he might get 14 touches, you know? You never know. Jimmy.
If he plays.
Jimmy Graham, starter sit.
Start.
He's a low-end starter. I think it depends on who you have, who you're comparing it to. Like, if I had the chance of playing him over Delanie Walker, I would. Yep. I'd play him over O.J. Howard. Mm-hmm. PPR, I still like Jack Doyle better, even if T.Y. Hilton plays. But, you know, he's in that, you know, 8 to 10 range of, you know, a number one tight end this week. You just got to hope that what we saw at the end of last week's game is what's going to happen. He's going to see 9 targets. And
Eifert,
they keep him involved.
Eifert or Graham?
I'll take Graham over.
Yeah, I take
Graham
over
Eifert. All the guys that you picked up. And I would take him over Doyle, because I think the targets are going to be there. I think Rodgers looks for him. I think that he likes that big target and big body, both in the red zone and on key third downs. And I think that's what the Packers are going to try and do, is just body him up and play a little basketball with their power forward tight end. He could post up, catch a high ball, and move the chains or score a touchdown.
Dak Prescott or Aaron Rodgers?
Dak,
but I don't love either guy. Like, neither one are in my top five or top seven.
Yeah, Prescott's right around 10th for everybody. Packers have a good pass defense, and this should be a good game for Ezekiel Elliott. But, you know, you
should
saw
be a monster game for Zeke.
They weren't right. They weren't getting to the quarterback last week, the Packers, against Wentz, and Wentz kind of picked them apart a little bit. So, you know, we'll see. But Prescott right. is
there's no Tyron 12. Smith for
right.
for Dallas. And that was a big problem late in the game last week against New Orleans.
All right. So how about this, right? Green Bay allows the second fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. We've had Robinson, Thielen, Diggs, Sutton, and Jeffrey all have 8 to 10 fantasy points in non-PPR. That's really not that good. That's outside the top 20 in three of the first 4 weeks, the 8 to 10 non-PPR fantasy points. And they didn't have a lot of catches. So I know you're going to start Amari Cooper. I'm avoiding him in FanDuel. Would you, you know, you have to start Cooper, but Gallup, I guess, is the question. Like, you want to wait and see and just kind of stash him this week?
Yeah, I don't think you want to start him yet because, like you said, you know, he doesn't know how much he could trust his knee. He was saying earlier this week he hasn't really opened up yet in terms of his running. He said he can cut, but, you know, going full speed. So it sounds like a guy that's going to be on a limited snap count. You know, he's coming back from an injury that was given a 2 to 4 week timetable. I think he's 1 week ahead of that. And so my guess is he feels good enough to play. Probably won't play his usual amount of snaps. Probably won't see a ton of targets. And this is a team that's looking at January, you know, so I don't think they want to risk him, you know, re-injuring himself when they clearly missed him last week. So he'll probably be out there on some key spots, you know, red zone, third downs, you know, I would imagine, you know, other spots as well. But I don't think fantasy players should plan on him, certainly not in daily.
I think if you're considering him, you've got to expect something in the neighborhood of 5 for 60.
Okay.
I think that and maybe even 4 for 60. Just because the playing time could be reduced. I don't think it's going to be so bad that he's barely out there. But they need
Hard
him.
To say.
They need him. I don't think they trust Devin Smith.
All right, no. So Jason Witten's last. That's Michael Gallup we've been talking about. Jason Witten is outside the... He's 15th for Jamie, 14th in PPR. He's like 15th overall. So, you know, hopefully you don't have to start Jason Witten. don't start the Packers DST, and the Cowboys DST probably do better. They're 11th for Jamie, 11th for Dave, and 12th for Heath. Our next game is going to be Jacksonville at Carolina, but not until I tell you about Honey. Join honey.com/FFT. It is incredibly easy to put on your computer, and it will save you money. Honey is a free browser extension that saves you money everywhere you shop online. So I just used it to buy a little Yankees onesie for my son. Hopefully it arrives today before the game. By the way, I think the Twins are going to be the Yankees. But join Honey, save me a little bit of money. Almost every time you shop, you know, every time you shop, you get a notification from Honey if there are coupon codes or ways to get discounts on something. It's just so easy. So you go to joinhoney.com/FFT. With two clicks, it's on your computer, and you're basically getting free money. You don't have to do anything after that. The reviews are just sensational. Over 100,000 five-star reviews on the Google Chrome store. And Time Magazine, like I said, calls Honey, quote, basically free money. Over 10 million people are already saving money with Honey. So you need to join them. No reason not to use it. It's free. Installs on your computer in two clicks. It'll save you money so you can treat yourself to something nice. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/FFT. Joinhoney.com/FFT. Well, we are up against the end of our video studio time, guys. So we can either do Jacksonville, Carolina in 3 minutes, or we can take a break, move to the audio room, and then do Jacksonville, Carolina. Your call.
Let's do it. Let's go right now.
Here we go.
Take a break.
No, I'm going with Dave's suggestion. Gardner Minshew has actually done very well against Tennessee, Denver. Not very well, but well. Do you think he gets to 20 or 21 fantasy points, which is where he's been at in three or four games against this very good Carolina pass defense?
No.
I think he falls just short of it, but I think he can get you fairly close.
I'd say under 15.
Ooh. Cousins or Minshew?
Cousins.
Cousins.
All right, Leonard Fournette, top 10 in both formats. Carolina without Kawan Short. They're
beat up on both sides. The Panthers are beat up on both sides of the ball, by the way.
Okay.
Like, their offensive line is in some trouble in this game. I know we're not necessarily talking about that right now, but their defense also has some pretty significant injuries.
Well, does that give you hope then? Obviously, we're going to start Fournette, but does that give you hope for DJ Chark or DD Westbrook? Because the Panthers have just been so good against wide receivers.
Yeah, why am I blanking on the names?
Who they've
top
played?
Top three receivers Brandon Cook.
Chris
held
Godwin
10 points or less.
Had a good game, but okay.
No,
so
Evans,
Cup, Evans, Cook, and Hopkins had 61 or fewer yards.
10 PPR points or less for Hopkins, Cooks, and Evans.
Gardner Minshew doesn't care about that stuff. He's just going to continue to rifle downfield to DJ Chark. Chark has 9 deep ball targets through 4 games this season. He's got at least one end zone target in every game this season. He should have a touchdown in every game this season. He had one called back last week. I know the coverage is going to be bad for Chark, and I know that the quarterback situation isn't great for Jacksonville, but I still think he's too talented of a player to just completely wipe out of your lineup. You can consider other options. I think he's a low-end number two wide receiver.
I would take toilet paper and wipe him out.
Would you take Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Geronimo Allison over DJ Chark?
I would.
Maybe in PPR I'll take Valdes-Scantling, but not non-PPR.
All right, and then on the other side of the ball, we're going to sit Kyle Allen. We're going to start Christian McCaffrey. And Carolina wide receivers interested. So in two games with Kyle Allen, Curtis Samuel has 7 targets in both games. DJ Moore has 7 total targets.
It's an interesting game because if Jalen Ramsey is out, we saw what Joe Flacco was able to do against that secondary and that defense. And it's the first game since Jalen Ramsey's been part of the Jaguars that they've allowed over 300 yards passing. Second game they've allowed over 300 yards passing. I believe I have that right. Because Mahomes went for 300 against them. And those receivers were great. I mean, Sanders and Cortland Sutton were great.
So you started these guys?
I don't know if you're starting them, but it's certainly an upgrade to both of them. In fact, that Ramsey's out. Because Boye has not played very well. And this is an opportunity for them to get those guys going a little bit. Now, it's still going to be tough because the pressure is going to be on him. And Kyle Allen, I think, and the Panthers are just going to try and sort of manage the game and lean on Christian McCaffrey as much as they can. Because you know, you've seen that with his usage the last couple of games. So it's not starting both these guys, but I think, you know, like I have more right around 30. I'd probably put him up a couple spots, and the same thing with Samuel.
I think Samuel's better. The targets have been there, as you said, Adam. And whoever doesn't get covered by A.J. Boye has the better chance because Trey Herndon got targeted like crazy by Joe Flacco. They might have to bench him and go with somebody else just so it's not so obvious what they do. But Boye will try and take out one of these guys. I don't know if Boye can run with Curtis Samuel. So it could be a win for Samuel either way. They're risky. They're flexes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Greg Olsen, do you have confidence in him this week after a dud last week?
Yep. Top 10.
Yeah, I start Graham over him.
All right. So far the Jaguars allowed 3 for 88 to Kelsey, 7 for 64 to Walker, and Noah Fant scored a touchdown. So it might not be a bad matchup. Maybe not great, but not bad for Greg Olsen. Jacksonville DST is 12th for Jamie and 9th for Dave. Carolina DST is 7th for Jamie and 14th for Dave. Both are in play here, and that will do it.
They've been amazing. They've been absolutely amazing in terms of what they've been doing getting after the quarterback. And Minshew was sacked 5 times last week by Denver.
Oh, Carolina.
How healthy will they be? Okay, yeah, keep
an eye on that. We got to end this portion. We can come back to it if we need to. Video crew, thank you for getting us up and running today. Keep watching on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Don't worry, we're not missing anything here. Arizona, Cincinnati, after this real quick break on FFT.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Well, here's a fun one. Arizona at Cincinnati. Your stat of the game, Tyler Eifert leads Cincinnati in red zone targets, and Auden Tate is second. And in the green zone, inside the 10-yard line, Eifert with three targets, Mixon with two, Bernard with one. The only players with a target inside the 10-yard line. And your other stat of the game, tight ends facing the Cardinals have finished number one, number one, number one, and number four in non-PPR, and top two every week in PPR. So, Tyler Eifert, starter sit.
Start. I think he's got the better opportunity than Uzama in this offense because I think Uzama is the better blocker. And Eifert can block, but he's just, they ask him to do more, I believe, as a route runner. I don't have the data to officially back that up, but it's just what I've gathered on years of watching Eifert play.
Okay. We'll compare him to some other play. Well, you know, you'd start him over Witten or no? Not over Graham.
I wouldn't start him over Graham. I would start him over Witten.
That's easy. I'd start Eifert over Delanie Walker. I'd start him over O.J. Howard.
What about Doyle?
I would start Doyle over him.
I would too.
Why are you so down on Delanie?
I've got Eifert right at 12.
If T.Y. Hilton plays, I'd start Eifert.
Why are you so down on Delanie Walker, Jamie?
The Bills last year were the best against fantasy tight ends. They are in the discussion. It's too small of a sample size for me to say they're the best, but they're certainly up there. And their defense is good. I don't think that this is a game where the Titans are chasing points. So that's when we've seen Walker as the best.
And we've seen the Titans start to incorporate A.J. Brown just a little bit more into their offense. That's somebody who could take away over the middle targets from Delanie.
Okay, let's go to the quarterbacks here. Which quarterback do you like better, Kyler Murray or Andy Dalton?
Murray.
Murray, slightly.
Okay, and they're both in play here. I mean, I know Dave is not feeling it with Dalton. But for Jamie, where you have Murray 10, right? And where do you have Dalton?
12.
So Kyler Murray just hasn't been very good, but Cincinnati allows the fourth most passing yards per attempt. They do, however, see the fewest attempts in the NFL, which is weird.
Yeah, Murray.
Everybody scores on them.
I know Murray hasn't been good as a NFL quarterback, but he has 20 or more fantasy points, 2 out of 4.
And he's starting to run the ball a little bit more. And after what the Steelers did with their wildcat to the Bengals, I wonder if the Cardinals try and do the exact same thing with Murray and David Johnson. And they just have those guys hit the edges and test those slow linebackers for Cincinnati.
Maybe this is the week we see the real Arizona offense.
I hope so. Cincinnati
because
has
four
been...
preseason games and
yeah,
four regular season games. We've yet to see the real Cardinals.
Oh, maybe we have seen the real Cardinals.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about is that maybe we have seen it. I would prefer if Christian Kirk were playing but it doesn't look like he's going to go. So don't know if this will be exactly the same type of offense because they're actually a little thin at receiver. Okay. I think they lean real heavy on David Johnson.
Yeah.
Here's a beat the waiver wire guy for you, Keyshawn Johnson.
All right. Cincinnati, terrible against pass-catching running backs, Dave. They've allowed three touchdowns and three players to have six or more catches, three players to have 57 or more yards. So David Johnson could thrive there. Larry Fitzgerald, start or sit? How would you compare him to the Packers wide receivers, DJ Chark, some of the guys we've already talked about?
Way ahead of all those guys.
Yes.
Okay. So basically a must start.
Yes.
Would you start him over another guy that I know we like, Allen Robinson, who's at the Jets?
Yes, but I like Robinson a lot too.
Would you start Larry Fitzgerald or Aaron Jones as a flex?
I'd start Larry Fitzgerald.
I believe I would go with Fitzgerald, especially in PPR.
We debated Andy Dalton yesterday, but we've been all over we're all over the map, I guess. Heath has him 7th, Jamie 12th, Dave 17th. And I don't know how much more I want to get into it. Obviously, the Cardinals suck. They allow the second highest passer rating in the NFL. But, you know.
It's such a great situation for Dalton.
If he had John Ross, I just like, who is he going to throw to? Is Auden Tate good? I mean, I know he's going to get targets.
He's big. That's what he's got going for him. He is humongous.
He's
like Kelvin Benjamin.
I mean,
they're not going all season between Boyd and Tate not scoring touchdowns. So one will score this week. And I think it we'll see one of the tight ends find the end zone just because the Cardinals are so bad. And then we saw Mixon find the end zone on a reception two games ago. So I think Dalton will be right around 302.
I think that every team they face,
I'll say this, he's going to be better than Jared Goff.
Well, I don't know that he'll play better, but he might outscore him. But but every team that the Cardinals have faced has had a good tight end. Hockenson, Andrews, Olsen, Disley. This is the worst tight end they've faced. And what that means to me is like the Cardinals give up the 12th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. But I don't really buy it, guys, because I just think that the other teams have been able to lean on their tight ends. So, that's a number that doesn't scare me, that 12th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers when it comes to Auden Tate. Obviously, you're going to start Tyler Boyd. But how do you feel about Tate?
The whole key is, can the Cardinals pass rush get to Andy Dalton? And this is the only area of the Arizona defense that's been competent. I guess their run defense has been okay, too. But Terrell Suggs, Chandler Jones, they can draw pressure. And the offensive line is a real problem for Cincinnati.
Same offensive line that helped him go for 402 against the Seahawks.
Which was fluky. Many of those numbers were the flea flicker and then that.
John Ross.
It's still numbers.
I know.
Ross.
Again, his first three games, what do you have, 18 against Buffalo? That's a minor miracle for him to do that.
All right, so Auden Tate or Packers guys.
I would go MVS, Tate, Allison.
I believe that's how I have it.
So you have, Auden Tate, 16 targets in the last two games with Ross healthy. He got hurt in week four. And Ross is averaging 8 targets per game. So unless was Damian Willis?
Damian Willis or Alex Erickson.
Yeah, if one of those two guys step up, that certainly could be the case. Maybe we see a little bit more action in the passing game for Uzama, who I don't think has caught a pass since week one. Eifert's been basically 5 targets per game, so maybe that's a couple of targets in his direction. But most likely it's going to be a lot to Tate and a lot to Boyd. And those two guys should have a chance against this defense. I'm with you, Adam. I don't think their numbers against receivers are indicative of how bad they could be without Patrick Peterson for another week or another two games, two week games. 5 and week 6.
Yep.
So it's a spot for them to win. It's a spot for Dalton to lean on those guys. And I think he's going to have success.
All right. We're
Dalton's
done with that
game.
Dalton's
a great daily play.
Tampa Bay is at New Orleans. I'm talking too much here, so in order to get us to that minute and 5 mark, I'm just going to turn it over to you. Start or sit Jameis Winston?
I'm starting him. I don't believe that the Saints defense is as good as the numbers say they were in the matchup against Dallas last week. I think they're good, and certainly they're better at home, but Jameis just has been playing so well. The receivers are making huge plays for him, and I'm starting to get the feeling that this could be an O.J. Howard week. I think that this could be an area that the Bucs start to incorporate against those linebackers for New Orleans.
Jameis or Kyler Murray, Andy Dalton?
Jameis.
Jameis, but it's close.
Okay.
Will not be surprised if both guys in that Bengals Cardinals game outscore.
Can you trust a Tampa Bay running back this week? Specifically
no.
Jones.
I would lean against it if you could. Some people just can't. Figure 70 total yards max for Ronald Jones.
Yeah, there were 10 running backs who had 13 or more carries against the Saints last year. Only one had 70 rushing yards. That was Ezekiel Elliott, and he had 23 carries. That I picked the number 13 because that's Jones has been about 13 to 19 carries. But it's going to be hard based on last year and his workload. Based on the Saints' run defense last year and Jones' workload this year, it's going to be very hard for him to reach 70 rushing yards.
Only one running back has had over 70 against New Orleans this season.
This season?
Yeah.
And that was before they got their best defensive tackles, Sheldon Rankin's back.
Right, the great Carlos Hyde.
Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, guys. Start them both?
You have to. It's going to be a challenge for Evans because he'll see Marshawn Lattimore. But Evans had a tough matchup last week. How'd he do?
Yeah, he has not been great in his last four games against the Saints.
Nope. The last game against the Saints in New Orleans, he was awesome.
Yeah.
But it was Fitzpatrick who was throwing him the football.
By the way, the Chris Collinsworth said on the broadcast on Sunday night that Lattimore does better against better players because he was having a bad year, and then he really shut down Amari Cooper. So do you have Godwin ahead of Evans this week?
Yes.
Ahead of him every week.
Okay. all right. O.J. Howard or Tyler Eifert?
So I have Eifert ranked higher for now. Yeah, you can buy into that matchup. It's just easier to do. It's so hard. You have to have some serious cojones to go with O.J. Howard this week. Maybe easier to do in FanDuel than in a seasonal league. But if you're stuck and O.J. Howard's your only choice, I don't think you have to panic at the waiver wire and find somebody who you've never heard of and hope that they get 40 yards. I think O.J. Howard can get you at least that.
Oddly enough, that is also how I feel about Jared Cook because Tampa Bay is the second worst team against tight ends. So if you're going to
you have no idea what his role is going to be.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going to pick up a bad tight end, you might as well pick up one who has a great matchup, and that is Jared Cook. That's not an endorsement of him. It's just
wasn't he outplayed by Josh Hill last week?
He was.
I'm
O.J. Howard over both those guys.
Yeah. All right, fine. I just want to point out it's a good matchup. All right, here we go with the Saints. Sit Bridgewater, right?
It's two guys.
Yeah. And I'm getting away from Kamara and Daly because the Bucs do have a great run defense.
And he's super expensive.
And he's had two bad games in his last three. We're one bad game away from having to talk about Alvin Kamara. And that's pretty much it for this game. Michael Thomas, yes, and that is it.
Thomas could have a monster game.
Six wide receivers have had 82 monster or more yards against Tampa Bay. That's a lot. All right, we've got three games left, Patriots at Redskins. I don't know if you want to go to this game, but if you do, you want to go to SeatGeek. I've been on SeatGeek with disappointing results because the Yankees-Twins game is just too expensive, but if I were going to go, believe me, I'd go with SeatGeek. I checked one other site, and SeatGeek had better prices. I don't know why. I did it for the sake of this read, so I can tell you that SeatGeek has better prices, but I don't even need to do that anymore because I know. I've used SeatGeek so much. I know I'm getting great deals on SeatGeek because they're not just one website with one source of tickets. They go and they bring in millions of tickets for all their events into one place. They search multiple sites. They find great deals for you, and they rate the deals. You can see the best bargains on SeatGeek very, very easily. Download the SeatGeek app. You can save $10 on your first SeatGeek purchase. $10 off with the promo code FFT. So again, download that SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code FFT. Great, great app for tickets, concerts, comedy, theater, whatever you want to see. Obviously, sports. SeatGeek's the app. FFT is the promo code. New England at Washington. Stat of the game, running back has 4 to 5 catches against the Patriots in all four games. Chris Thompson should get that, and he is the number 22 running back in PPR, second most receiving yards at the position. He's just a solid flex for sure in PPR. All right, so Tom Brady. I've got so much FanDuel Tom Brady, and Edelman. I'm going big on it, but I could see a scenario where they don't need much from him. So how do you rank Brady this week?
You still start him. You still expect good numbers from him. Somebody said, well, how can you start Tom Brady if the Patriots are up 21-0 and they just lean on their run game for the rest of the game? Well, how did they get to 21-0? Now, yeah. Is it possible that it's a defensive touchdown, a Sony Michel rushing touchdown, and a Brandon Bolden random guy touchdown? I mean, that's all possible, but I think you buy into Brady in this matchup against the Redskins. Their pass rush isn't that good. Their secondary has let up some huge numbers. Josh Norman has already given up 4 touchdowns this year. It's week 5. He's given up 4 touchdowns already. So to me, Brady is an easy start. You just put him in and you don't worry about it.
Yeah, I love Josh Gordon this week. I think he goes for 100 and a touchdown.
And I think they want to get him going, yeah, too. He has 18 targets in his last two games. Dropped a touchdown recently. They need to start to kind of establish him in their offense a little bit more.
Right. So Brady is coming off one of his worst games ever. That's why I'm hoping for a statistical bounce back. You guys have him top six. We talked about the Patriots running backs earlier. We're going to avoid Burkhead. I don't think he's a terrible stash. I know he had one touch last week. I have to think that was injury related, but he's 60%
owned. He's still banged up in practice too.
He's 60% owned. Michelle's been horrible, 2.8 yards per carry. But Michelle in non-PPR, White in PPR. Dave thinks Michelle's going to score, so he, you know, could be good in PPR as well. That's the Patriots running backs. And then we're starting Edelman and then Gordon. Gordon, like you talked about liking Larry Fitzgerald a lot. Would you start Gordon or Fitzgerald?
I'd start Gordon in non-PPR.
I'd start Fitzgerald in both.
All right. And then what about Dorsett?
He's not too far behind Gordon.
He's the third receiver to trust of this team. But I think if you're looking at it in comparison to the Giants guys and the Packers guys, I'd start MVS over him, but I'd start him over everybody else.
Okay. And
I'd start Shepard over him in PPR.
Yeah, not me.
Washington actually has not been that bad against tight ends. So if you want to gamble on Watson, it doesn't appear to be a great matchup. They held Ertz and Ingram to 54 yards. They did allow a touchdown to Witten. Washington, just Thompson. Thompson is a flex. That's it, right?
McLaurin is a flex.
If he plays.
I would avoid all Redskins.
You don't think Thompson is his typical five catches, 50 yards, whatever?
Yeah, but that could be it.
Yeah, and but he's the number 20. He's the number 22 running back in PPR, you know?
Yeah, I
it's 10 PPR points. Consider your other options.
And he's been under 10 in two of his last three.
And he's been over 12 in two of four. So, yeah,
if you need to start him, I would try to avoid him if you can.
Okay. Patriots DST is number one overall for everybody. Minnesota at the Giants. Stat of the game in Sterling Shepard's three healthy games. He has a 22% target share. Evan Ingram has a 25% target share. Here comes Golden Tate, and we don't know what this offense is going to look like. Are there any Giants that you are comfortable starting this week?
Gallman based on volume, and Ingram's a must.
I
think it's only Ingram, and even that one, I'm not loving the matchup.
Vikings,
I'm just dealing with it because it's a tight end with huge potential.
I don't think they're great against tight ends. It seems to be maybe a vulnerability for them. But whatever. Like if you have Evan Ingram, you can't imagine you're sitting. But would you start maybe Darren Waller over Evan Ingram?
No, Waller's playing the Bears. That's even worse.
Okay.
Yeah, PPR is close.
So Shepard and Tate, we're going to avoid. Heath's kind of high on Shepard. He has him 14th in PPR and 24th in non-PPR. I don't know. You guys don't. So Gallman or Chris Thompson?
I'll take Gallman.
Gallman
or Sony Michel? I think I asked you
Gallman
that.
And PPR.
I'll take Sony.
Michel and non-PPR.
I asked you that already. I apologize.
I mean, I think
Gallman's safer in PPR because of the catches, but
Gallman showed you last week that he will get the same touches that Saquon Barkley got. He will not be as good with those touches, but he will get the same touches. And so any running back getting that type of volume, especially in the passing game, you trust in PPR.
How about Kirk Cousins here? And where do you have him ranked against a really bad Giants defense?
I think this will be his best game, but that's not saying much.
I have 16th.
So, I mean, he's behind Brissett. He's behind Dalton. He's behind Kyler Murray. He's ahead of Baker.
There's only one of those names that I disagree with, and you know which one it is.
Yeah, it's a mistake.
It's not a mistake. I think this is a great setup for Kirk Cousins. The Giants' pass rush isn't good. Their secondary busts all over the place. And the receivers are complaining that they're not throwing enough. This is perfect storm for Kirk Cousins.
Oh, I agree. I just think Dalton's situation is much better.
I don't think it's much better. They both have great matchups on the table. One of them has a good offensive line and great receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that the Cardinals and the Giants' pass defenses are pretty comparable, it seems. And then, do you think the Vikings blow the Giants out? Because if you do, then you might get like 12 touches from Alexander Mattison, you know, for people in 14-team leagues or defense.
If it was at home, I'd agree with you. They have not been very good on the road.
Right. I think the spread's like 5.5. All right, so Thielen's a must start. Stephon Diggs, is he a top 20 guy this week?
He is for me.
No. I think this is much more of a Thielen game than a Diggs game. And Diggs is way more riskier of the two.
He is more riskier of the two.
So he's a borderline starter.
I think he can get you double digits in non-PPR.
So Diggs or Dorsett?
Diggs.
Diggs.
Any interest in a Minnesota tight end?
Nope.
Great. Any interest in a New York Jet?
Le'Veon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Darius Geis, Devontae Freeman, Kerryon Johnson, and Aaron Jones all had double-digit carries against the Eagles and averaged 2 yards per carry or less. And the Jets just lost an important offensive lineman. So I know you have to start Le'Veon Bell, and I'm always excited to start Le'Veon Bell, but not in daily, not for me.
No.
It's our last game here, Jets and Eagles. And is it basically start him, sit him? Start all Eagles, sit all... Well, no, it's not... Yeah.
You still have to address the running backs.
We did earlier, but sure, let's do it again. Because Wentz, I know you guys like a lot. Wentz or Brady?
Wentz.
Carson.
Yeah. Howard you like more than Sanders, and then just tell me who you'd start Howard over. And maybe some wide receivers. Like, would you start Howard or Diggs?
I'll take Diggs.
I'd start Howard in non-PPR, Diggs in PPR.
So Howard has a slight edge over... Miles Sanders when it comes to playing inside the 2 yard line. Those goal line touchdowns have favored Jordan Howard. He's had more opportunities. Sanders doesn't even have a carry inside the two yet this year.
Yeah, I think it's a big edge.
Howard has a few more red zone snaps and touches than Miles Sanders is. And I don't know if that Jets defense is going to come around just because Quinnen Williams is back. That offensive line that the Eagles have is going to be the toughest one that the Jets have seen this season. So I'm okay with Jordan Howard. I wouldn't have 100 yards as an expectation for him, but I think he can score. So he's a low-end number two running back in non-PPR.
You know, earlier today I kept saying Allen Robinson, and I meant to say Alshon Jeffrey. They are like the same player to me, and I feel like they're ranked similarly, right?
Or... Well, one scores touchdowns, one catches a high volume of passes, but yes, they feel like the same guy.
Yeah. Jeffrey, though, is top 24. You know, he's a good low-end number two starter. And Zach
Charles Robinson in PPR?
Right, exactly. Like all the questions I said, this guy or Allen Robinson, I meant Alshon Jeffrey. They're more or less interchangeable. Eagles DST, how much do you like them?
If Luke Falk starts, they're top three. If Sam Darnold starts, they're top 10.
So.
Works for me.
I think we missed an hour five, but we didn't miss by much. So we're getting better.
But you forgot one game.
Oh, crap. Well, can
it's
we do it quickly,
headset
Jamie?
Headset toss game. Got to go back.
Dave, I got to say to all the listeners, what was I saying? Fangiver.
For say that I on Fantasy Football is going to be live 10 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
Fangiver for listening, everybody. For Dave
Don't
and Jamie,
to tune
I'm
in
Adam.
On Saturday night.
CBS Sports Radio and Sirius Channel 206. Na, 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 na.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.